Now when we turn to God's word here in Romans 5, the main topic I want us now to think about this time in the service on this Good Friday evening is actually the topic of God's love. God's love. And in fact, you can see it. That's actually the main topic in that short passage that you just heard read, God's love. Because if you might have noticed, the first verse that was read there in verse 5 said this, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And then the last verse you heard read in verse 8, remember, says, "But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so God's love has been poured into our hearts, and God's love has been shown to us, meaning we as Christians know in our very hearts, and we've seen it. God loves us. God loves us. But then the question is, but how do we really know that? How do we know it's true that God loves me? That this isn't just some feeling, or that this isn't just some pipe dream that me and you or others have made up just so we can feel better about ourselves. How do we know that God loves us? And well, you can probably sense the answer to that we're going to be seeing together this evening, because the answer to that in our passage here, and I want you to know in reality, is the cross of Christ shows us that God loves us. The cross, which happened in history, the fact that the cross happened 2,000 years ago in history is where you and I see with crystal clarity that God loves us. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this evening. And to do that from here on out, as for a brief outline of where we're going to be going, so we're just going to be here in these verses in Romans 5. And to go through what's here, we're just going to have three quick sections together, three brief sections. And you can remember these sections by just the numbers 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, 1. Because first, in our first section, we're going to look more at this passage here. And we're going to notice three things here that God's word tells us about ourselves. Three things about ourselves. Which then next, in our second section, will lead us to look at this passage again. And there we're going to see two huge things about what God's word tells us here, about what Jesus did for us on the cross, though. So Jesus and the cross. Which then third and finally, and really climactically for this evening, will then lead us to be amazed at one big thing that this passage shows us about God's love. One big thing about God's love. And just so you know, that one big thing is going to be in that verse 8, but it's actually hard to see at first. But once you see it, it is quite amazing. We're going to talk about that later. So that's where we're going. Three things about us, two things about Jesus' cross, and then one big thing about God's love. But also, let's just then dive in here this evening, church. And again, we're going to start by just seeing three things here from God's word about ourselves. And so to begin on that, we're actually just going to reread all of verses 5 through 8, which I know you just heard read in the scripture reading. But as you hear these now, just keep your ears open for where you and I are mentioned in these verses. So look at your Bibles again, as always, verses 5 through 8. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So notice, you and me here, as those receiving God's love, we're called three pretty striking things in these verses. Three things. And just so you know, each of these, when you really believe it, it helps you feel and appreciate the love of God a lot more. So three things quickly here. And the first is in that verse 6, where there you notice the Bible calls us, quote, weak. Weak. Quote, for while we were still weak, Christ died for us. And I love that our passage begins there, because think about it. I bet every single person on the planet would agree that we're weak. Because we like to try to act strong, right? Especially in places in public. But just think about how weak, how unable you felt at some time this past week, or even just today, how weak you felt to do whatever or to avoid doing whatever. Right? We know it. When it comes to being who we were made to be, we can't do it. We're weak. We can't rescue ourselves out of whatever pit we're in. So that's the first thing the Bible says. We're weak. Which then second, in that same verse, you probably saw it, the Bible then defines who we are as weak people as, quote, ungodly. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And now ungodly is a bit stronger of a word, right? Because it's basically a word that means the opposite of God, not devoted to God, against God, anti-God in our thinking and living on our own. And so we're weak, we're ungodly, which finally to the third and last thing leads us here, what we're called in these verses. And that's skipping ahead to verse 8 now, where you notice the Bible says, but God shows in love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so now we're told that we're sinners. And I know that term maybe isn't as loved today, but it's intentionally used a bunch of times in God's word. And you might know it. It's a word that just means missing the mark. And we think of it that way, just like with our weakness. We can all agree to that as well, right? We all know it. We do miss the mark. We know we should be more consistent. We know we should love others better. We should love our Creator. But we so often don't. We're sinners. And so, of course, more could be said on all those things, church, but you can sense it. The Bible says those things to us, well, mainly because they're true. Because sure, you and I can be people who theoretically, personally, try to deny that we're weak. Or you can try to deny that you're naturally ungodly or a sinner. But the truth is, yes, we as human beings are amazingly and beautifully made in God's image, as the Bible says, with this ability to love and create and relate to one another and to God's world. And we do so in amazing ways. And yet, we all know we're also off. We're weak, ungodly sinners. And just so you know, again, thinking of God's love, as we're going to see, if we know that about ourselves, and that really sets the stage for us to appreciate God's amazing love. But if we don't know that about ourselves, if we try to skip past all of that and just think that we're totally good people and perfectly fine on our own, then honestly, we will not really understand the love of God. But anyway, so that's our first section this evening, three things about us, which next, though, as you said earlier, leads us now to two things about Jesus' cross in this passage. So especially as it's Good Friday, let's now look back at these verses and just notice with me two clear things about the cross. And for these things, we're going to focus now on verse 6 again, and then verses 7 and 8. And so we'll begin again in just verse 6. You've heard it a few times. Remember, there the Bible says this: for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So the first thing we should notice about the cross here is that little phrase, at the right time. At the right time. And I know that might seem insignificant, but that phrase is really important because to begin, it shows us that the cross happened literally in time, right? In our world history. And I know many of us know that, but just think about what that means. It means that God decided to see our plight, and he sees each of our own individual personal weaknesses and ungodlinesses and sins, even right now, and he decided to come and accomplish something in history, in time, to deal with that, which is no small thing. And so that's huge about this phrase, at the right time. It happened in time, but then you can see it, the phrase specifically says that it happened at the right time. Meaning, as the Bible said elsewhere, when the fullness of time had come, Jesus' cross took place. This is all happening in God's perfect plan. So that's verse 6 and thing number 1 about the cross. It really did happen at the right time. Which next, though, for thing number 2, leads again to those verses 7 and 8. So we'll reread those now. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we're going to really focus even more on verse 8 in a minute, but for now, concerning what we've been singing about and celebrating this evening of Jesus truly dying on that cross, just think with me more about that strange verse 7 there, where the Bible just adds that, quote, one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. And so think of it. Why does the Bible include that? Well, here's a really cool thing to think about concerning Jesus and his cross, because what verse 7 there points us to is basically the fact that Jesus, when he was going to that cross, he knew what he was doing. You get that? He knew what he was doing. Specifically, he knew he was taking the place and dying for undeserving people. That's the point underlying that verse 7, because the analogy in verse 7 is of someone specifically dying for someone else, right? It's the idea of someone willingly deciding to take somebody else's place. And the point of the Bible is scarcely someone does that for a good person, right? I mean, maybe you decide to do that for someone if you thought they were so good and worth dying for, but implied here is, but Jesus knew the opposite about us. Meaning he knew all of the depth of our darkness. Jesus knew, and Jesus knows as he's alive right now, all the messed upness that you and I have. You are in my weaknesses, ungodlinesses, and sins, and still, Jesus willfully chose to do what he did, dying on that bloody cross. So that's three things about us, two things about the cross, which all now, third and finally, leads to that one huge thing about God's love here. One big thing about God's love. And out of everything this evening and this message, I do hope that it's this one thing that you might leave here amazed by and hopefully changed by. And as I said, this will now be seen in that verse 8, but it's something that isn't easily noticed at first. But once you see it, it's amazing to think about. To begin, though, let's just reread verse 8 one last time. And as you hear this now, just focus on what it says about God's love. Verse 8, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So the word to focus on there is that word shows. Shows. God shows his love for us in that Christ died for us. And some translations translate it as shows, others as demonstrates, and others even as proves. And that's because the verb can and does mean all of those things. God shows, demonstrates, proves his love. But what is important here, and what in all of those translations show, what is important isn't actually which exact verb is decided to be used. Instead, here's the one huge thing about God's love for us to all grasp this Good Friday evening. The most important thing on that word shows is that it's in the present tense. It's in the present tense. Shows. And all translations rightly reflect that. God shows, God demonstrates, God proves his love. And that's amazing. And why? Well, just stick with me here. So think of it. Because here's what you and I would expect. And here's how we often just quickly read this verse without even really realizing it. We know that this is talking about the cross, which, remember, happened in history around 2,000 years ago. And so we'd expect this verse to say, but God showed his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because died is in the past tense, right? Because the cross did happen in the past. And so we'd expect the verse to keep the same tense, saying at the cross, when Christ died, God showed his love. That's actually not what God's word here says. Instead, Christ died in the past, in history. But here's the amazing thing. God's love is in the present. Or even more specifically, it's not just that God's love is in the present, but it's that God shows his love presently. And that could even be translated rightly as is showing. And so God is showing his love right now. But how? Well, through the cross, which happened in the past. Do you get that? Meaning God shows, God right now is showing his love for you and his love for me, and that Christ died for you and Christ died for me in history. And really, that's the one huge thing about God's love that I hope we really all get this Good Friday evening, because for all of us in here, we sense it. We do each want to be loved and feel loved, especially by God. And even non-believers actually like the idea of, if there's a God, I like this idea of him loving me. And so we all want that. But again, the big question is, well, how do we know? I mean, how could we know that the creator of the universe actually does love me? That he loves us? Is there any assurance, chance that we can be clear, crystal clear on that? Sure of that. And now track with me here. Here's where the world and other religions give so many answers to basically that same question. Because for some religions, or even religious people, to acquire that feeling of being loved, they focus so much on their own religiosity, right? Their own religiosity or their own obedience. The subtle idea is, if I'm good enough, then God will, of course, in return, love me. That's basically what the Pharisees were like in Jesus' day. That is what many self-righteous people are like today. That's basically Islam and all the other religions. And sadly, that's even some people in the name of Christianity. They feel God loves me if I'm good enough. Or for other people, and this is probably the most common today, people put their confidence in God's love for them because they just have personal feelings of God's love. And so they say, I know God loves me because I felt it. And now stick with me. Of course, it is true according to the Bible. We are meant to feel that God loves us. That's exactly what verse 5 is about. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But get this with me. If our feelings are our foundation for deeply knowing that truly God loves me, then what happens when we have bad days? Or we don't sleep well? Or eat well, or we just feel blah. Or what happens when we really mess up badly? Or finally, for others, they put their foundation of God's love for them in this leap of faith realm, where sure, they know that they're not good enough, and they might not always feel God's love, but they just believe it. Which sure may sound honorable and good, but it actually isn't, because we were not designed, brothers and sisters, to have that leap of faith. And so instead of all of those, one last time this evening, church, how do you and I know that God right now in the present loves us? How does he right now show that? Romans 5:8, something to remember, it's crystal clear. God is showing that love for you and for me, and that Christ died for us. We look at the cross, at what happened at history, at the right time for weak, ungodly sinners. It really happened. It truly was horrific. It was the most terrible and unjust thing that has ever happened in history. And yet there we see God's love. And again, not just a love that was revealed 2,000 years ago, but a love he is intentionally showing to you and me right now. And so the question for each of us this Good Friday evening is, so do I see that? Do I see that love for me from God at Jesus' cross? Do I see it? Really, that's the question. Because think of it, yeah, questions at end of messages like this often are just put as, do I believe that or do I receive God's love? And that's good and fine, because we are to trust in Jesus, for example, for our salvation. Amen. But in reality, here's the thing about God's love. When you really see it, you will receive it. That's how truly being loved works. You don't logically really decide to embrace someone's love for you. Instead, when someone really, truly, deeply, clearly loves you, you see it and you, of course, receive it and feel it and love it. We were designed to love and love receiving love. And so one last time, the question with God, with Jesus this Good Friday is, do I see his love displayed for me at that cross? Do you see that, yes, you are weak, ungodly, and a sinner, so am I. But the love of Jesus is proven and shown at the cross right now. If you don't see it, I do encourage you, really just keep reconsidering Jesus this evening and this whole Easter weekend, because this isn't some fairy tale. Instead, this is the center of all of history. We are amazingly created and designed by God, but we've now fallen, but God still loves us. And he's continually showing that at the cross. But finally, for those of us, though, who do see that love, this Good Friday evening, church, let's just be refreshed and be so thankful for and love God back because of it. Because, church, God loves us. We can't say that enough. God loves us, and he showed it at the cross. And again, he continues to show it as we look at the cross. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.